We're gonna go ahead and get started here. It's always good to come on Wednesday night prayer meeting. I enjoy the time we get to spend together and share burdens with the smaller groups. And I know that sometimes we have a big burden we want to share with the whole church family. Sometimes it's just things you wouldn't share in front of the church family, but you'll share with a smaller group just to pray with you on certain things, and it's good that we can do that. Luke chapter number 9. I think we might have this. We still got one group out. All right, well, they'll make their way in. Luke chapter number 9. I failed to mention, I was going to mention before your prayer group that Lord willing, this Sunday we're going to have baptism, so be in prayer for that. I know a lot of people like to invite family for that, and it'll also be Youth Sunday, so be a prayer for this upcoming Sunday, the Lord's Day, and plan on being here. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 57 of Luke 9. I'm going to read through the end of the chapter of Luke 9, verse 57. There's some scripture here as the Lord's speaking. People are coming to him, making statements, and we're just going to read them and his answers that the Lord gives to them, and then we're going to get into our message this evening. We'll let these men out. Men, come on in and join us. We're in Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Y'all can find your place there and join us. Luke 9. I'm going to start reading in verse number 57. Luke 9:57, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, or at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I read these verses of scriptures, and if you didn't read the Bible in its entirety, if you haven't experienced Jesus in your own heart, you may think, this is a hard man. He's almost may think he's heartless to say some of these things. These are some hard sayings. And if you take these scriptures out of context, you can have someone believing that. But we know better. We know for God so loved the world, we know that Jesus loves me, this I know. And so when we read scripture like this, we got to realize that Jesus is trying to teach something. He's trying to wake these people up, these people who are making statements as far as this first man says, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And he let that man know, I'm homeless. You want to follow me? There's some hard days ahead. There's some tough times ahead. If you want to follow me and you want to serve God, you better be serious. You see, the Christian life takes those who can stick to it to be successful. You know, maybe when you got saved, or maybe you used to look at Christians and think, man, their life is smooth sailing, and these people are just happy and smiling all the time. Nothing ever bad happens, and then you get saved and realize, hey, that's not true. Though, as a Christian, you can smile through the storm. There's a little children's song that used to sing, and maybe you guys know it, with Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm, and you make little motions, and but it's true. It's not that you don't have it rough. It's not that you don't have hard times. It's that you have God in your heart and the love of God and a peace that passes all understanding, and you can smile at the storm, but you're in the storm. God's path may be straight, but it's not smooth. And it's important for us to realize that, because for you to say, I want to serve God, I want to follow God, and it takes something to do that. And yet, being saved, you know, salvation is more than being saved. When you get saved, that's the start. That's the start of the Christian life. But there's more to it. And so someone gets saved, and they might start coming to church and hearing preaching. But then God starts pricking their heart to start doing something. And you being here on a Wednesday night, I think you passed that. You've been at that point where God's pricked you to start doing something, to be faithful to church, to serve God. And so God's bringing you into His will where He wants you to be. And it's not smooth sailing. It's a straight path, but it's rough. There's bumps along the ways. There's ditches that you have to fall in, climb out of. There's things about it. And so when I read this verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God, this reminds me of Elisha. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah had just took a stand for God, and he started feeling a little lonely. And God told him in verse number 18 of 19, 1 Kings 19, verse 18, he says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. He was telling Elijah, you're not alone, Elijah. You may not see it, but there's 7,000 people. In fact, I'm going to introduce you to one, and we find this guy here in verse number 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. You got a Bible story that you just love, you know, something that you read that you think, I like that. Something that someone did that you just think, man, I apply that to my life. But this right here is one of mine. I like what Elisha does here. And we're going to go over it, but this is just one of those stories that I think, man, this guy's got it. You read stories of histories of heroes and taking a stand and saying things and doing things, and you say, you know what, I want some of that. I want some of what they got. Well, what Elisha does here, and I want you to pay close attention to this. He departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. You see, if you remember the story, there's been a famine in the land. It's been a drought. It hasn't rained. Well, all of a sudden, God sent the rain. And I bet, you know, Elisha being a farmer, he was probably excited as God sent in the rain. Let me get out there and work this field. Finally get to do it after 3.5 years. We get some rain. Let's get to plowing. And he's out there plowing through that rough, dry, you know, because it's been dry. God sent the rain, so he's got the hope that God's going to give him a good crop. And here comes Elijah. Cast his mantle upon him. Doesn't say a word, but they both know what that means. I'm choosing you. And verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him. Pay close attention to this. And he took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I like what Elisha did here. He's out working, just going about his everyday life, and all of a sudden the will of God comes his way. You're going to serve God. And he's come with a decision. What do I do? Do I stick with what I've always done? The rains done came. I can work this field, make some money. This is my living. I've been suffering these 3 years. Now it's time to do something. Do I work hard to try to get back what I've lost? Or do I leave it all and follow this man? He made a decision. I'm going to follow this man. But he didn't just make the decision to say, okay, I'm going to follow this man. He did something. You see what he did there? He took a yoke of oxen and killed him. Broke up the instruments, the plow, broke up the yoke, broke those things up, burned them, cooked the oxen on them, made some stew. And he said, there's no going back. Not only did he decide to follow, he made a decision, there's no going back. And that's what I like. That's what I like. You know, it's time for some of us to make some oxen stew. Again, you're here on Wednesday night. God's been working in your heart. God's been growing you as a Christian. You say, well, I've been saved for 30 years, 40 years. Some of you may have been. But God's got you here tonight because he's still growing you. You haven't arrived. You got work to do, and God's got something for you to do. And you've made a decision. I want to serve God. You're here. But some of you haven't killed the ox. Some of you're here and you may think back. I remember back when. And Elisha wanted it to be that if he ever thought back, you know, I remember what it was like back farming those fields. But oh yeah, I killed those ox. I broke that plow up. Ain't no going back. Ain't no going back. Maybe he, when he think of it, remember plowing those fields, he'd get a little bit of taste and remember what that oxen stew tasted like. And it would remind him, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in this for the long haul. Any of you all know the name Hernan Cortez? Ever heard of this guy, Hernan Cortez, this Spanish conquistador from back in the 1500s? Anyone ever heard of him? He's not too famous, but if you look him up in history, you'll see where he was had a big part in the conquering of the Aztec Empire down in Mexico. Hence why they speak Spanish in Mexico now. You know, back then it was the Aztecs there that Spain had sent back in the early 1500s. Columbus had already come and started settling down in the Caribbean area, and this guy went over to Mexico and started conquering through the land of throughout Mexico. Not trying to lift this guy up as a hero for his tactics and things, but there's something he did during that time that was very interesting. When he landed in Veracruz, one of the things he did, it was going to be tough. He knew that some of the men had already heard rumors of some of the men that was going to take a ship and head back. So what he did is he scuttled his own ships. Some stories say that he burned them. But however the tactic was, he sunk his ships. We're here to stay, man. Ain't no going back. It's forward. We're going forward. And they were very successful, obviously, of the conquest. But he sunk his own ships. You think, what in the world would make someone do that? Because he wanted to tell himself, he wanted to tell his men, it's no retreat. It's no going back. We're here. We're going to do the job. And it's victory or death. Victory or death. And some of us, as Christians, as spouses, as parents, as teachers, as whatever it is that you've chosen to take on in life, you need to burn your ships. Many of you have stood at a marriage altar. Some right here. 13 and a half years ago, I stood right here at this spot and made a vow to that lady right there. You know what I did? Struck a match to that ship. There's no going back. Some of you need to do that. Some of you need to say, you know what? We're in this for the long haul. Now, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be smooth sailing, but hey, there's no ship. You ain't got no choice. You done took out any way of retreat. You're going forward. When it comes to serving God and you make the decision to serve God, whatever it may be, to say, you know what, God, I'm going to do it. Whatever God's called you to do, you say, I'm going to do it. Burn your ship. Kill those oxen. Whatever it may be, because you know what? Satan's going to remind you. When things get tough, pastor's been talking about it when he's going through the book of Numbers. What have those people been doing the whole time they're out in the desert? Oh, we're remembering back in Egypt. They're remembering the melons and the leeks and the cucumbers. Who do you think put that in their mind? They're remembering those things and they're saying, we want to go back. We want to go back. Has there ever been a time in your life that you're serving God, that you've had a thought of quitting? If you've been saved any time, then yes. Some of you have been saved from parties. Some of you have been saved from alcohol. Some of you have been saved out of drugs. Some of you have been saved out of these things, and Satan's going to remind you, oh, didn't you have a good time? Didn't you have a good time before you started serving God? Now you're giving all your money and all your time to the church. Wasn't it fun back then? Now, he doesn't remind you of the taskmaster. He doesn't remind you of the slavery. He doesn't remind you of all those things. But your mind goes back, and sometimes you may say, man, it was fun back then. But do you taste the ox stew? Do you remember, hey, I didn't burn those oxen. I cooked them and ate them. They're gone. That life is gone. There's not more for me. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I think some people need to highlight 1 Kings 19. Mark it in your Bible and say, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to decide in my heart, hey, there is no going back to that. Whatever it may be, whatever those things are, I'm going to burn them. If you got things in your house that remind you of the time before you got saved, get rid of it. That reminds you of that old life. That reminds you of back in Egypt. Back at that time to say, oh, I remember back then. Get rid of it. Burn them if you have to. Just get it out your house first before you burn it. But burn them. Get rid of those things. Turn with me to 2 Peter. I don't have much more tonight, but I want you to see, you Bible quizzers, you ought to be familiar with this. 2 Peter chapter 2. We've been learning the whole book of 2 Peter, a section at a time. It's very interesting verses here at the end of chapter 2. Verse number 20. This is talking about getting saved and going back. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're saved now. They are again entangled therein and overcome. Now listen to this. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So they were living in the life of sin. They were living in the world, and then they got saved and came out of it. And then they went back. God says they're going to be worse than they were before they got saved. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better. Now listen to this. This is harsh. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. It had been better if they didn't get saved. And then to get saved and go back into that. Because if they didn't get saved, then maybe God could still work on them and get them saved later. But to go back, to know the truth, and to go back to the swine, to the hog pen. Verse 22, but it happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. How sad. How sad are those verses there? To go get saved, to know the truth, to be clean. And to go back. Why? Because they kept thinking back. Because they left something back there to go back to. You left something to go back to. Or you had something that would remind you. Hebrews chapter 11. This is my last scripture here. Hebrews chapter 11. I think this would be key. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Why are you reminding yourself of where you came from? We ought to be reminding us of where we're going. Where we're heading. Instead of thinking about back in Egypt, what those Hebrew children kept doing, thinking back in Egypt, remembering back in Egypt, they should have been thinking, hey, we're going to Canaan land. But because they kept thinking back, many of them never made it. Most of them never made it because they kept thinking back. Remember where you're going. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You ought to be reminding yourself constantly, I'm heaven bound. My sins are forgiven. I'm free. But you have things. I don't know what it is. I don't know you. I don't know your. I haven't been to your homes snooping around. I don't know what you listen to in your car. But many of you have things, whether it be music, whether it be television programs, whatever it may be, that's reminding you of the filth you came out of. And this verse says here, if you've been mindful of that, if truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they had came, they might have had opportunity to return. You don't want to go back to Egypt? You don't want to go back to that slavery? You don't want to go back to that mud, wallowing in the mud because you've been washed and you've been clean? Then don't remind yourself of it. Don't keep things around to remember back of those times. Some of you, it might be your associates, those you hang around. You haven't broken that yoke yet to say, you know what? It's not what I am anymore. It's not who I am. It's not where I'm going. I'm heading this way. And you're holding me back. And you need to break those yokes and say, hey, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back here. Elisha says, you know what? I'm not coming back here. And I'm not leaving anything to come back to. And he still had his family. He still loved his family. But he wanted to make a sign for himself and for everyone else. Hey, I'm following God from here on out. Here on out. Maybe it's not something physically that you need to get rid of or whatever, but you need to maybe get with your family and say, hey, we're burning the ships. We're leaving that, and we're serving God here on out. No going back. Some of you need to get with your spouse and say, hey, I know things get tough, but I'm burning that ship. There's no divorce. There's no going back. I made a vow to you, and I'm keeping it. We're serving God. You know serving God's tough. You know you're going to face the battles. You know things are going to get tough, and things are going to get rough, and things are the heat of the battle, you may say, I'm going to run for it. But where are you going to go if your ship's gone? Just remind you, hey, Christ is your vessel. Christ is your vessel. You burn the ships of the world and realize Christ is my vessel. I can smile at these storms because God says we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. And doesn't matter how rough the storm is, if God says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. I'm just going to ride along and follow Him. It's not easy, but God laid this message on my heart because frankly, I get tired, brokenhearted of seeing people turn back. Wonder, what is it that they were doing so good? You did run well, but who did hinder you? And it breaks my heart to think, what was it? Did they leave that ox tied up saying, you know what, just in case serving God doesn't work out, I got something to fall back on. Get rid of those just in cases and just walk by faith. Get something, decision to say, you know what, I'm going forward. Stick to it. But we know, you know, there's empty seats here. People that you worked alongside with that says, you know what? They were doing good. Where are they? They didn't burn their ship. I want to put that warning because it breaks your heart. It breaks my heart. Let's serve God. He's worthy. He's worthy. God is so good to us. far better than we deserve. He's worthy of us serving him. He's worthy of us saying, you know what, I'm not going to stay anchored to that whatever I'm anchoring to. I'm following God, cutting the ties of the world, and I'm going after God, and I'm going to get rid of anything that will remind me of that life. I'm following God. I'm pleading with you. There's something. Lay it at the altar. If it's something physical, go home. Get rid of it. Get with your families and say, hey, let's make some oxen stew. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you do for us, God. You are worthy. You're worthy of our best, God. You're worthy of our lives. You're worthy of our service, God. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would work on hearts, Lord. I know you've spoken to my heart. Lord, I've tried to preach your word. Lord, I pray you'd bless it tonight. Bless the invitation now, Father. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.